call the, what is it, June or July?
9th.
July 9th, 2018 Grants Committee meeting in order. Do a roll call, James.
Here.
Ann.
Here.
Gussie.
Here.
Here.
Judy, Helen, Bruce.
Here.
Here.
Liz, Erica.
Yes.
I'm here. I think this is everybody, isn't it?
Yeah.
We're just missing a few. We need more. Alright. First thing, gonna get approval of the minutes for the grant meeting for June 11th, 2018.
So moved. Second.
Alright, all in favor?
Aye.
Gussie and Liz.
Thank you.
Approval of minutes for the special grants committee meeting from June 20th, 2018.
So moved.
Second.
Liz, Ann.
Thank you.
Any public comment?
We had all through that.
Approval of reports, there are none. Bills and purchase requests. Everybody had a chance to look at them?
We did it quietly.
Oh, we did.
So moved.
Liz and Ann.
Ann. James.
Aye.
Ann.
Aye.
Gussie.
Aye.
Yes.
Judy, Helen.
Aye.
Bruce. Liz.
Yes.
Erica. Just hold on. Good night, good night. Alright. First resolution of the evening. Resolution authorizing the home program funds, the RISE Community Development for Edison Avenue Loss Rehabilitation, Granite City, YMCA, and the factory. Any questions? If not, I'll accept the motion.
Make a motion to. Second.
Who's?
She made the motion.
Alright, Helen.
Helen.
And Judy.
And Judy.
Who's the second? Alright.
Aye.
Ann.
Aye.
Aye.
Brittany.
Yes.
Judy.
Yes.
Helen. Bruce.
Aye.
Liz.
Yes.
Erica.
Yes.
Sorry. Alright, next is a resolution authorizing home program funds to Southwestern Illinois Development Authority for the construction of the Highland Villas and factory.
I just had a question on that one. I saw that it was a 0% loan. I guess I'm just questioning it just in general, I'm not questioning the project at all, but I know we've done them in the past. And maybe why we do them, I would assume that there's some cost to managing.
It depends how they kind of set up the loan. Sometimes they set up with just cash flows. A lot of times our cash flows don't actually come back bringing back any money anyway. But other times they do an actual amortized loan schedule, and that's where we actually charge them interest on these projects. They kind of make the request up front, we get a negotiation, we go back and forth with them, but we try to help these projects go. This is part of our loan commitment letters to, our official loan commitment letters to help them get funded by IDA.
So if there was an interest cost to them, they might not get approved, or, I guess what I'm.
They can't make the dollars and cents work to get approved, yes.
I see where you're going.
It's not this project by any means, but I'm just questioning, longer term, does it make sense for us to be doing 0% loans if there's a cost of doing business? And is there some way we could do some kind of a minimum, you know, going forward that says this, just expect this?
Absolutely, and I agree that we do like the 1% number, and we are actually looking at that in the future to make that just the minimum. It just did not happen this time. We've had some replacements in staff and some new people running the program. Yes.
But it makes.
The soft commitment letters are going to be looked at much harder next time to ensure that they're at least 1%.
And And so my second question is that 1%, would that be enough then to kind of cover the costs or
like
managing?
Probably not.
This, I mean, basically at the end we try to get whatever money we can back. Like some of these projects are coming to an end now, and some of them they ask for loan forgiveness, and we kind of have to go negotiate. If they're selling them to somebody, how much of a cut we get, you know. So it's kind of it's not even guaranteed we're going to, because we get this money in a grant, from the home grant, and so then we lend it out.
Right.
The whole goal is eventually to get it back, and then we can lend it out again.
Mm-hmm.
We have
right.
a revolving basis, but some of these projects, some of them are more profitable than others.
So we're not, we would never be, well, we're not, can't really lose money because it's grant money, right? But
right.
Yeah.
And for example, this summer, with all the home projects we have out, we're estimating, with what we call program income, we're estimating a return of $150,000 this summer. Actually, it's probably over that now. But we do get these payments back. We do get this money back.
I guess I'm just trying to understand kind of more the financials behind it, and if it does make sense to look at it and say, at a minimum, this is what the cost will be or not. I mean, I'm not saying it does make sense, but it would be worth looking into to just kind of understand the...
We absolutely agree with you.
Given the grant program, so anything you do get back is just a bonus for work.
Right.
So that
yeah.
the grant.
Well, would that then go into the pool of funds that you could then...
Yep.
Yeah.
We could bring them on, essentially. Mm-hmm. Or we could do other things, like we've used that money to pass on the first-time home buyer program. We've done other things with it.
Come on, James, that we're going to look at it next year before any letters go out.
Yeah.
We get approached rather early with the soft commitment request,
right.
because the IDA application is due before our home application. And so we look at their numbers, we try to help them make it work as well.
Right, okay.
Do we get a large number that asks for total, like, a loan forgiveness, or how does...
There have been projects in the past that have asked for that. It's not our policy to allow that. I think HUD actually tries to make the requirement for us to try to recapture as much of these funds as we possibly can, and that's where our program income comes from. Like on our demolition program, at the end of the demolition, we slap a lien on it in the efforts to try to get that money back. So we typically do not try to forgive. It's not our policy to forgive, but does it happen? Yeah.
And we have liens on some of the units as well.
Right.
Ones that are the home units, so we do have a negotiating standpoint there to try to recapture funds as well.
Do we have any liens with the companies that are now asking for additional funds, or like, are there? Let me see if I can rephrase this. Are there organizations that have asked us to,
or developers
to forego?
No.
And then they come back later for different projects and asking.
The current projects.
These current two current projects. No. SWIDA and RISE.
No.
Okay. Any other questions? No. I had a motion and a second, right?
So moved.
Second.
Who made the motion? I don't think there
Judy.
Was one because she
Judy. Judy. And second. Jane?
Aye.
Ann?
Aye.
Jesse?
Yes.
Chrissy? Judy? Yes. Alan? Bert?
Aye.
Liz?
Yes.
Erica? Next is a resolution authorizing bid awards for weatherization HVAC contractor or fact sheet. Anybody have any comments or questions about this? If not, I'll accept the motion to approve.
So moved.
Gussie?
Second.
Second. All right. James?
Aye.
Ian?
Aye.
Gussie?
Aye.
Chrissy?
Yes.
Judy? Ellen? Bruce?
Aye.
Liz?
Yes.
Erica?
Yes.
Can I back up just for a clarified question? Not, sorry, no, we already voted on this. On the Edison Lofts,
mm-hmm.
It says it's for artists.
Yeah.
To the exclusion of others?
No.
No, I mean, I saw that. I'm kind of laughing.
Yeah.
Going, okay, well, you know, just the way, I was laughing. I'm going, well, they can't exclude anybody else. But the way it was written, I'm going, for artists. Let's see. Where did I see it? Somewhere I saw it in there.
Keep this in.
For a variety of working artists. And I kind of laughed. And I'm going, I know you can't do that.
Don't.
But
so you don't.
The way it was written, I think I bought my hand.
So it's not exactly.
Don't you do that. Don't you do that.
Nope. But it's saying that there will be sort of a marketing emphasis to the arts community. And that's something that's grown out of stuff, some information we've gotten from work that's going on in Granite City to kind of attract that particular kind of little arts district that they've created. They actually formally created it through ordinance. But we certainly can't exclude anybody who otherwise, you know, would be income qualified.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but I just, then I either read it wrong or I was looking at it.
No,
where did it say that? To a variety of work, yeah, okay.
So I think the variety
but
part, because there are going to be studios.
There is
going
to be studios.
Okay.
I've talked to the mayor about it. Yeah. Yeah. Talked about the art.
I think it's a great project. Mm-hmm. I really do, but I just saw that.
Nope.
Next is ordinance, amending ordinance number 97-06. Add territory to the pontoon in Pontoon Beach to the Gateway Commerce Center Enterprise Zone. You just want to talk to it again?
It's I think the fact sheet's in here, but
yeah.
It's a hotel project. They want to put in a Holiday Inn. It's a standard expansion. We're just part of the approval process because we administer the enterprise zones. The application still has to go up for final approval to DCO. Even in between that, it goes to here, and it goes to the county board, then it goes to the city of Edwardsville board, it goes to Pontoon Beaches board. It comes to us because not only are we the enterprise zone administrator, but we are on the enterprise zone management committee. Again, it's about 3.5 acres. It's going to generate about $2.5 million in sales tax. All management committee members voted in favor of it, with Madison County abstaining.
Why did we abstain?
Question.
Who's our reference?
Yeah, why would
we
abstain?
Well, Kurt was invited to the meeting. I think he was sick that day. Doug was out, so they sent John Thompson. He didn't really understand it completely, so he just abstained.
Well,
the enterprise zone administrator was in favor of the project.
Is Mr. Patel the same gentleman who already has a hotel there?
No, actually, very common last name.
Yeah. It's like Jones.
I'm curious. Well, no, I know, and that's why I asked. So.
And where is this one going to be?
This one's actually right next to Village Hall and Fountain. It's,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. I just like to say that we are continually having problems, and I've set up a meeting with county officials as well, with the enterprise, with the gateway. Not only they don't take the flooding into consideration, Pontoon Beach, I mean, it's horrible with those people who live there, and their workers bring their trucks through in residential areas when they have a designated place to come through off of 111, but they don't care. Some of the workers park their cars and throw their lunch wrappers out and, you know, in the residential area, pick up bikes and whatever they see laying around. And it's what happened 10 years ago when they came in the area is 10 times worse now, so I would be voting no on that. I realize that, you know, how they feel the need and that, but I've been called by a few officials and they said you certainly aren't going to vote on that. How much bigger is it going to be now than what it was when it...
Three acres.
Yeah.
It's just for the hotel.
Very small.
But Pontoon Ridge voted for it.
That area looks good now with all the hotels and different things along 111.
Yeah, right off 111.
Yeah, that's a very nice looking area. I was just through there.
They don't care about the citizens. They don't care.
Well, along 111 there was nothing, and now you've got a business district.
Yeah, well, I'm talking about they have to build these things higher than the wetland area is. So that's one of the problems with the flooding. Well, thank you for your time on that.
Once this is through, well, I'm assuming if it goes through our board in Edwardsville and Pontoon, does it still have to go to the state also?
Yes. Yes, the state actually gets the final say on whether or not the expansion happens. Sometimes they look at these and say, that's not enough jobs, et cetera, and they do turn these down.
Yeah.
We've been successful in the past with expansions. We did one hotel expansion in Pontoon Beach already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember that.
And this hasn't gone to Edwardsville yet, right? Or has it?
This is going, we're doing it all simultaneously. So as it's coming here, it's also going to Edwardsville, it's also going to Pontoon. Okay. Everybody hopes for final approval at the end of July for a formal application to be turned in August.
Got to remember that is the American Bottom flood area, Pontoon Beach, Namioke, and Shoto. Levee Board's having a horrible problem because they are in charge of the drainage by law. When we build, they blame the county, and then others blame the levee district. In the meantime, it's a problem.
Any other?
Are you saying they're building it too low, or are you upset about trash?
You have to build it according to floodplain regulations.
Right.
You have to build it higher. In some cases, 4 feet higher than the other property.
And I would assume this would meet all guidelines, correct?
Be all what?
This would meet all the guidelines.
You say it's right next to the Pontoon Beach City Hall?
City Hall. That's why I asked where it was going to be located.
Right next door.
And that's right on 111.
It's on 111, right.
How do I explain it when people say, well, you voted for it, when I'm the county board? I realize you are near there. None of you are near there. I'm the only one that has all of the warehouses in the floodplain.
Okay, and but where this is going, it's not down near the warehouses.
No.
Am I correct? It's down no, where the municipal building is.
Yeah,
it's not down near the Gateway Commerce. It's not down that way.
Yeah.
Am I correct?
It's down. It is development in the area, though, that does flood.
Where the municipal building is?
Nearby, you know, Mallard Lake, and it's not that far. Yeah, and those poor people had to get out, and, you know, church put them up, and it goes on and on. That's why I vote against enterprise zones, warehouses, and that all those years, because I guess it's because I'm the only one that lives close to there and sees it. And they come and say, help. What are you going to do except get them water and food and whatever, as best you can?
I don't think it's ever going to stop. Recently built down there, they have like a small retention basin for their drainage that goes in and holds it, I guess, for a certain amount of time until it slowly.
Every site has to have it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the warehouse
down there,
they all put in their own retention.
The warehouse has it all also.
Yeah, they all have to.
It's an Mass County ditch also runs through there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other comments, questions? If not, I guess the motion will come.
So
second.
All right, Liz, James. Since we're not spending money, do you want to do roll call?
I'll do a roll call. Yeah, you want to do a roll call. I almost spoke.
Yes. Ann, Jesse,
yes.
Chrissy,
yes.
Judy, Helen. Bruce, Liz,
yes.
Erica.
Yes.
All right. Let's put a sign on that one. Administrative reports. Climate and training update. Tony said you didn't have anything. Did you?
I just have two things. Like, so he's on vacation, so he has to come here. I'm Debbie Angleton. Just our program year 2017 ended June 30th, and we met the 80% of the obligations that we needed to for that year. And we start our new year July 1st, and our funding for that is $2.2 million. Those are federal funds that come into the county to help employ and train people. So that has been signed through, the chairman has signed that, and we have sent that up to the state DECO to finalize and give us the final approval.
Okay, anybody have any questions? Green development next.
Okay, I gave you all two handouts on your table. So one is this great big stack of paper. This is information that I put together for you all regarding our weatherization program. So since I've come, there's been lots and lots of questions about weatherization, what we do, how we do it. And so for the last 6 months, I've been gathering information. And I won't read it all to you if you don't promise to take it home and read it. You want me to read it to you? I can't. And you call me Tony. He's a long talker. I can make fun of him.
I was just curious about the weatherization program. How do you determine who the people, do they apply for this, or?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and in the report, so the first thing on the top of the stack is a letter from DCEO, and I'll just start with that real quick. When I came, I started reaching out to all of our state contacts, just asking them about our program, what to look for, good, bad, if mm-hmm. they had concerns. And finally, I asked the guy at the top, his name's Nick Prince, and I said, can you tell me how do we compare to other weatherization programs in the state? And he said, well, we don't usually do that. But I guess I bugged him enough, so he finally wrote me a letter, which says that according to them, they consider us one of the top performing agencies in the state. And then he's this other highlighted part down here who talks about when the federal monitors came in and looked at our program and the amazingly good feedback we got from them. So mm-hmm. just wanted you to see that. But then this is the next part is actually the report that I put together, and then a bunch of its attachments. So if you don't read anything else, read the little part, the little report part. But there is a section in there, a graph that shows the clients that we serve mm-hmm. and the statistics. I think I started with 2012, and it just tells you kind of the demographics that we serve. Mostly the head of households are elderly or disabled or families with young children. Income eligibility is a requirement. I think I broke it down as far as racial demographics, head of household that's a female. So just, you know, some things like that. Now you will notice that the total homes that we've weatherized over the years have gone down, but that's mm-hmm. because funding has changed, and also now they allow us to spend more per home. So we do less homes, but we can do a little bit more mm-hmm. work on them.
Do you advertise this that low-income people would know about it?
Do we advertise this? Not really, right?
How do they find out?
We actually have a waiting list over 200 people long.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay.
So we take names as we deplete them, we add names to it. Yeah, by advertising our waiting list, it would be 3.
So actually it's word of mouth.
It's word of mouth, yeah.
Okay.
I would imagine that the folks who come in for LIHEAP also end up.
Yeah, they end up.
Right.
Yeah.
LIHEAP, you're automatically eligible. For
right. I mean, those two seem to go hand in hand to me.
Right.
Yeah, well.
Okay.
Yeah, LIHEAP and weatherization.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have to have the weatherization if you want LIHEAP funds. So.
Yeah. Okay. Most of the attachments, the big thick stack at the back, is our monitoring letters from about the last 2 years. So we get monitored regularly by the state. They're coming in, they're looking at our. Fiscal reports, they're going out and looking at like 10% of our homes, they're looking at our files, it's continuous. It seems like every other month I'm getting an email from them saying, we'll be back. I know it's not quite that often, but it seems often. So I just put copies of those so you could see the findings they've had, the feedback that they've given us over the last couple of years, and then there's benchmarking in here with the other programs.
several of them throughout the state. Some of them just wouldn't really answer me when I reached out, but we have more HVAC contractors than most of the programs. We, we're the only ones that utilize union carpenters that we employ directly, but got feedback again from the state that they kind of like that. They think that we are able to monitor our program and our work and everything closer than the ones who just bid it out to a contractor. So, so anyway, there's that. So I'll leave that to that. But you have questions about that? Anything? You know, I promise you're going to read all of that.
You're going to test.
There'll be a test. Well, on this other one, there will be a test next month. This is the St. Louis Regional Chamber. So this is information. Our affiliation with them is coming due at the end of August. I thought it was September, but that was because gently we paid last year. So they kind of caught me off guard because I thought we still had another month. And then they sent this updated report, which talks a little bit about what they do regionally, but also in Madison County. On the very back, we've included what we've paid them over the last several years. I think going back to 2008, maybe. Just for various affiliation fees, events, that kind of thing. And then there's also a page with lots of little dots on it that talks about the levels of support.
Well, the chamber actually does stuff for us versus the other one that we were.
We get a lot, like, I don't know if a lot is the right word, but we get requests for proposals from them that we then send out to the municipalities when they're looking for sites. Site selectors are looking. They'll come through the regional chamber.
How often does that happen?
Mr. James. James, how often do that happen?
There were some lean years where not a whole lot of prospecting was going on, but honestly, I probably received from the chamber within the past 2 months 5 or 6 different projects. Two of them have actually picked sites in Madison County to visit that I've actually gone to now. We're still waiting if that's going to actually play into something.
Well, I remember discussions about this a few months ago, and the staff's recommendation that this was a worthwhile expenditure of money.
This is the one that helped us out with the Amazon package.
This is the group that did the HB2, and actually they talked about our 4 sites. They actually scored our 4 sites higher than
anybody.
Well, 2 of our sites were the highest scoring sites in the St. Louis metro area for Amazon, and then they were told that they had to submit to the St. Louis Regional Partnership, and we were left out of the final half after that. But they did put up work. They came here, they met, there were many phone calls with them.
So we had scored highest. Wait, RFP goes out, we score highest.
So the regional chamber gathered 10 sites,
14 right.
sites, and based on what they thought Amazon was looking for, 2 of our sites were the highest scoring sites.
And then what happened?
St. Louis Economic Development Partnership paid for everything, and so they got to choose.
Here, I'll tell you what happened. St. Louis City and St. Clair County went together on their own scheme, and they worked to push everybody else out.
Yeah, so they picked a site in St. Louis and the AT&T downtown. They decided that was the best proposal for the MSA, and they wrote our sites down as being listed as ancillary business sites for future development if HQ2 comes.
So that wasn't the regional chamber.
It wasn't the regional.
Well, so my question is, if those are the organizations that have
membership.
The membership and the clout, is that where we want to put it versus?
So that specific group that turned in the MSA or the application is currently under investigation. and as of last week or 2 weeks ago, St. Louis Partnership sent out an RFP to pick one person in the area to do the economic development instead of 15 different groups doing it. So
it's a big problem in St. Louis for a long time because we have all these different groups doing different things. So there's a lot of discussions on who can lead that our side of the river, their side in St. Charles, who kind of has their own island too, and can agree on. And
so so they're kind of jockeying for a position right now, I think.
I see a big shakeup coming in St. Louis. I think the one thing we all learned from Amazon was there's not one unified voice. There's 14 separate voices, and then one person decided that who was going to make that decision. It's just pretty much the mayor of St. Louis, sort of. We use the regional chamber. They've been very responsive. They send us reports.
Pretty research done. They're very helpful. Jim Alexander over there has been a great asset.
He's been there forever, hasn't he?
Yeah. Money well spent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you do look back, you'll see years when we did not do it because we had a little problem when they had a little problem.
Well, and I have to say,
the Dick Fleming years.
Meeting with Jim, he told me, if you don't ever pay us another dollar, we'll still continue to serve you the same way that we serve you now. So whether, I know, as I said, whether he meant that or not, I don't know, but it sounded good, you know. So they're not just in it for the money, I think is what he was trying to say, you know, that they really do see us as a region and think we're going to move forward as a region.
There's access to the request for proposals. That's been tremendous. Some of our communities haven't seen that in a long time. We're getting a lot of community feedback. The Wood Rivers of the world are starting to submit some of these RFPs. That's just been, it's been nice to see that cities in Madison County are responding to these. But without, there's other groups that I don't receive these RFPs from. Maybe that's the best way to say it. The state of Illinois also sends out some RFPs.
And how do you participate in meetings and so forth, and how many does it matter? Is there unlimited, or is it?
We get invited to virtually everything they have to offer.
Yeah, all of you could go if you wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We could take the department if we wanted to.
We just went to one a month or so ago where they had a guy from Chicago who's a site selector, and basically he just presented on what site selectors are looking for. It was very informative, a lot of good information. Maybe paid 10 or 15 bucks for lunch. And
then after that, they send that information for the meeting too. We just got the PowerPoint for the site selector. So now we know what some of these people are looking forward to.
Right.
So.
Lots of educational.
So do we need to recommend it this month, or can we
next
wait
month.
Till?
Well, I can bring a resolution next month, but before I brought the resolution, I just kind of wanted to get the sense of what you all wanted.
How does the board feel about this? Do we want to bring it up in a resolution next month, pay the bill?
I think so.
Yeah.
They're supportive to us and seem to help. It's not just name or sending us a letter saying we do this, 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 and this, and we get no results.
With the Amazon deal, they did a lot for us. You know, at the end, it wasn't necessarily their fault. As James said, the organization who picked it is now under federal investigation. So, I said, yeah, they have a lot of pull. Pulled themselves right into investigation. But I said, these guys may be the last ones standing over there. Out of all these different groups. You know, they're talking about one organization for everybody, or kind of do the economic development. These may be the ones that standing at the end of the day.
I would imagine that I will be responding to that request. I could see a couple of groups responding to that, but I feel that the regional chamber will be responding to be that place.
To question like we did last time, is it worth $30,000?
They're all shaking their head yes behind you there.
Well, I think it's a fair question. That's what I'm thinking in my head about. That's a fair question. So.
I'm just trying to.
I don't ever know how to put a value on something like that.
There is the sheet with all the dots on there that kind of tells the different levels of.
I didn't see a 30,000 on there.
Yeah, we fall in the.
Somewhere in between.
Yeah,
president,
somewhere in between.
Chairman.
I think there's 50 and. Plus, 10 plus. I have to fall in the 10 plus.
Okay.
Chairman Prentice were supportive of it.
Yes.
Do you guys participate in any of these events or this recognition or... I guess what I'm questioning is, it looks like you get the only thing, you know, for $10,000, there's the only thing that you would get is profile of your company, and it wouldn't be us, right? Because that would be a company versus a county. Use of conference rooms, invitations to events.
Yeah, I get a couple invitations every month, I would say.
I guess my question is, do we participate in any of this stuff, or does it make sense to do a president circle?
I know the planning and development's been recognized by the Chamber for Things.
I'm sorry, say that.
Planning and development's been recognized by the Chamber for Things. They've been honored several years in a row for stuff that they've done. Because Matt Brandemeyer's been over there a couple times, including earlier this year.
Oh, so we're already in that. So we've gotten the recognition.
We're in the 10 plus category.
And how is the $30,000 determined?
I have no idea. Anybody know how the $30,000 is determined?
I'm going to say that was a negotiation.
So think of it as an employee, okay, would you get the value of everything we get as you would pay an employee? To create everything that we get from them.
Well, what I'm questioning is, for $10,000, is there stuff in here that we need? Or why would we not do the same thing?
I just know that some of the departments participate when they go to events. You guys go to events at night. I know Matt's been, and they've been recognized on multiple occasions for some of their work.
I mean, do we use their conference rooms? Are we part of their council of investors? Do we do talent relocation services? I mean, I'm just asking the questions.
None of
that.
Anything?
Depends what they define as talent relocation services. If that's part of the RFP, relocating business groups, yes, we do. But I don't know the other thing. I don't believe we are on their council of investors at all.
We have one member. We'd be the chairman of the business or CEO, or I know, like, Mark Kern and Steve Stanger and Lyda Creason are all on those committees. They have a lot. I think it'd be a good job for work.
Could we table it and get some more explanations?
Well, there's nothing to table.
We're just asking
Judy for a resolution.
Yeah, whether or not to bring a resolution forward next month.
Next month, okay.
To actually vote on them.
So I think
these are good questions. We could probably have answers to them.
Yeah, answer some good questions.
Yeah.
Before we actually do vote on it.
I think
we did an event actually at Wash U with our two departments came together and did an event in December with us.
So we'll do the membership for the whole county. I don't know if it's for, I guess it's for the whole county, but our department
has
always
paid
it.
Yeah. More than you can tell me.
Reloading department.
So let me ask this, if we went out now to the Regional Chamber website, would there be a profile Madison County on it?
I believe we have one on there. They also give us, I forgot something else they give us, is a list of business. We've asked them for a list of businesses before, so for like retention and things like that, they have better contacts than we sometimes can get on knowing who to contact at a certain business and things like that.
But that's what I'm wondering, is that part of what everybody gets? Or is it special because we pay more than $10,000? That's what I'm just asking. I'm just trying to do the same due diligence.
We have to pay $50,000,
right? I'm sorry.
We'll have to pay $50,000 plus to get these items.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, so we're not getting them anyway. So why are we paying $30 instead of $10?
We're paying $30.
You want to know why we're paying $30 instead of $10?
Mm-hmm. I think that's actually something that was negotiated probably back when we really signed on with them. Maybe.
I think so.
With the former chairman.
Maybe we should renegotiate.
Thank you.
We might be getting the benefits of the $50,000 by only paying $30,000. That would be a question that we could get answered.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think I did ask the question. Mm-hmm. As I said,
right.
Maybe that was 30,000 each year would be my guess, right? If there was nothing for 2009.
Actually, there wasn't anything from maybe after.
Yeah, we dropped out.
Because of the declining years.
Yeah,
that guy.
We got fired. They were awful.
Yeah, he was
15 maybe.
They were in a great deal of controversy, so we said, no, we're not going to spend the money while you're trying to figure out what you're doing over there.
Right. You want to be part of it.
Yeah.
Good point.
All right.
Sorry, I'm looking them up, but I can't tell you why it's 30. It's been 30.
It was 30 in 2010, then 2015, 2016, 2017.
I think James is right. I think it was a negotiated amount.
Yeah, because back in 2008, it was like anything, I guess, it's
if we get $30,000 worth of value, I'm okay with it. If we're getting, and you know, it's hard, like you say, because if you start getting projects because of it, then it's a whole other ballgame.
We have projects and taxes. What we work on. So, does everybody feel comfortable with the resolution being brought next month?
Yeah.
And get some answers to some of the questions next month. So. Thank you. All right. Any other business for the board? All right.
You missed it.
Yeah, perfect timing. All right, next meeting is Monday, August 6th, 2018. 4 o'clock.
Clint?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I just wanted to say something. The power was off. Just to show you how important this is to the American Bottom Floodplain. Over 12 hours at our north pump station, that's what holds the river back. A lot more hours at the Cahokia pump station, East St. Louis. Okay, we got Horseshoe Lake lowered. If it hadn't been for that, that water can back up into Horseshoe Lake and hold it. In the meantime, when that river is up and the power's off and the pumps can't go, that protects all the residents from Venice, Pontoon Beach, Namioka, in the floodplain. The water table, we're not talking about water you can see above. The water table underneath comes up to the surface practically. So that's why they call it the floodplain. And it was very serious for the North Pump Station to be off, out of commission for 12 hours. And then the other one, thank God that the power came on after I think it was 16 or 17 hours for the other pump. I'm talking about the river. I'm talking about the floodplain. What you can't see, you don't understand. What happens is it comes up, and then people have sewer backups and basement flooding and things like that. I will bring you the reports. I stayed as an honorary commissioner of the Levy District, no pay. When the power was off, that's the first thing I worried about. Trees were down, and it was bad in the Granite City area, and it was bad in other areas, but really bad in Granite City if you saw television or read in the paper. But I worried about the river. I worried about the pumps not running to keep the Mississippi River off our backs. So I just wanted to explain that, why I vote like I vote. I'm very serious about this. Another thing, we hope we pass FEMA. I've been hearing that, now they can't blame Mother Nature, they can't blame the storm on, because the pumps won't run. But I've been hearing some bad things, that everybody is gonna have to pay this horrible flood insurance. I just got done paying mine, I'm glad to pay it. $1,500 to live where I live. But there's some people aren't gonna be able to afford to live, to pay that. There's just too many problems with development in the floodplain. And so I just wanted you to explain, before you think I'm really mean and just don't want development, that's not it, that's not it.
Helen, why don't they have backup generators to run those pumps?
They had pumps.
They did.
I heard they requested a pump from Madison County, but one of the pumps that was down was actually in St. Clair County, so.
Yes, it was.
Madison County Emergency Management said, you've got to go to St. Clair, because that's St. Clair.
Emergency Management was at our Public Safety Committee.
Yeah.
Meeting prior to this one, talking about that very thing.
Yeah.
And Madison County, I mean, we did everything that we were supposed to do.
I know. I mean, but at the time, when those pumps are out, you know, if you've ever flooded.
But that was on the St. Clair side.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I care about them too.
I mean, we care, but what I'm saying, the control part.
Right.
Yeah.
We can only control what Madison County can do.
I heard that request was made by the director, send your pumps out, and Madison County Emergency Management had to say, it's not us, it's St. Clair. So you've got to go St. Clair.
That's where
Helen, you need to go to St. Clair and tell them.
And they don't care.
All right, motion to adjourn.
Second.
Aye. Judy made a motion.
All right.
Whatever.
All right, everybody in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Okay, good to know.